mind for changing unhelpful habits. Through years of playing, practicing, and coaching the mental game of golf, I realized that what is essential for continued success is proper attention to three elements. They became the basis of my PAR approach to golf instruction: preparation, action, and response to results. They form the organizing principle for my golf schools and corporate outings, for teaching every level of golfer, and for the instructions presented here. Clarity, commitment, and composure are necessary for sound, consistent preparation. Feeling confident, focused, and in the flow is the ideal state of mind for action. The best responses to results build on success and learn from mistakes. These are the most essential ingredients of peak performance. Rather than an instruction manual that takes you through a systematic program like a cookbook, Zen Golf is a collection of brief lessons and exercises applied in actual on-course sessions with golfers, including many PGA Tour players. It will introduce you to a unique perspective that brings together techniques of modern psychology, experiences of generations of golfers, and the ancient wisdom of the Buddhist and Shambhala traditions. Each chapter will help you learn ways to make your mind an ally instead of an enemy, how to stay calm, avoid mental mistakes, reduce frustration, increase consistency, and lower your scores. You are not your thoughts. While playing well in a tournament, we might think to ourselves, well, you've gotten away with it so far, but you'll screw up before too long. Believing in this thought gives it power. It creates feelings of doubt and anxiety, which interfere with our swing and produce errant shots. Eventually, the fear of failure becomes so powerful that our game is badly disrupted. It doesn't have to be this way. If we look carefully, we can see that thoughts arise in our mind, but they are not our mind. By observing our thoughts and the feelings that precede and follow them, we can begin to experience a gap in the sequence of impulse to thought to action, and we can choose how to respond rather than automatically react. To begin, sit upright on a chair or cross-legged on a cushion, remaining as quiet as possible. Eyes open, gaze slightly lowered, rest your attention lightly on the breath. Let your awareness include bodily sensations and other perceptions, without letting them distract you from the breath. As thoughts arise, simply let them come up and go by, neither inviting them to stay nor trying to get rid of them. Noticing them is enough. There's no need for analyzing or judging them. Doing this for just a little while creates the space that allows you to gain insight into the quality of thoughts. They come and go in your mind, but they don't have to occupy it completely. Awareness is like a mirror. It does not have any particular color or content of its own, but reflects whatever appears. Thoughts, sense perceptions, emotional feelings, and dreams all appear in your mirror-like mind. None of these are your mind. They all arise as contents of your mind. You have thoughts, but you are not your thoughts. In golf, it is extremely valuable to be able to relate to your thoughts without being compelled by them. Late in a match, the thought might arise to go for the green on a long shot over a pond when the risk far outweighs the reward. At moments like that, you need to take a step back and get things in perspective. Think of how many strokes you would save every round if there were a little bit of space and time between your thoughts arising and your acting on them. Par for the course. Less than 1% of all golfers have completed a round of golf in par or better. That makes it a rather unrealistic target score for all but the most skilled among us. Measuring yourself against the par on the scorecard is a setup for failure for the average golfer. Another problem with par is that it is printed on scorecards and signs. When it was first used, the number set as par for the course varied according to the difficulty of the course conditions under which a competition was played. Would you expect to shoot the same score at your home course on a cold, rainy, windy day as on a sunny and calm day? Unlikely. So why measure your score against the same number in widely different conditions? I suggest that you set your own par for the course.